Coffee Break, where Helena comes to talk.
Welcome in. This is Coffee Break. I'm Troy Shockley. Thanks for joining us on this Friday to finish out the week and starting off our last show of the week. We've got Berkley Conrad here with the Helena Police Department, and he loves to talk so much that he brought a couple of other folks in to do it for him. We've got Tracy Kiesel and Aaron Root. Guys, thanks for coming by. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah. Aaron, move on. Move that mic towards you. I promise it won't bite.
Sure.
Absolutely okay. Positive. If Berkley can get through this multiple times, I promise you can make it through. We're chatting today because this is Child Passenger Safety Week, right? Is that the deal?
That's the deal.
Okay. So all of that is capped off with National Seat Check Saturday, and we're going to get the details on that here in a bit. But I think it's something that a lot of us probably just take for granted. It's something you can't take a best guess at, though. I mean, it's something we can't just say, well, that looks good, right? Yeah, that'll be good enough. This has to be right.
Yeah, this has to be right. We have to make sure we are transporting our kids safely every time and every trip.
Yeah. So you sent me some information this week and said that car crashes are a leading cause of death for kids ages 1 to 13. A few years back, it was, I think 2017 was the statistic. One child was in a crash every 32 seconds. That's a staggering number.
That's a scary number.
Yeah. And that's just a nationwide number, right?
Right. That is a nationwide number.
Okay. So what do we see here, Berkley, in town? And as far as, I mean, just anecdotally, I know you don't have the numbers on you, but car crashes and kids involved, is it something that we see here in Helena?
Yeah, absolutely. It's pretty common occurrence. We have several crashes every day, and it's common that we have kids in those crashes. And normally we see them buckled up properly. I think Helena's doing a good job, but I think there's definitely room for improvement and just a quick reminder of kind of what we're looking for.
Yeah, well, and it's a ticketable thing anyway, right? I mean, that's not why we're doing it, but if kid's not in a car seat or not in the car seat correctly, is that something that is a ticketable offense?
Oh, absolutely. And it's not one of those ones where it's like, we're going to let you off with probably a warning on that one. That's most likely a citation that's coming your way. And also keep in mind, too, that child safety seats, if we see a child moving out about the cab of the vehicle, that's a primary stop. So we don't need anything else to pull you over. Like, for example, if I was to pull you over, Troy, for not having a seatbelt, I have to have something else to stop you on.
Right.
Headlight or speeding, which you probably do.
No, but I am every once in a while I'm bad about the seatbelt and I get yelled at by my 14-year-old, which is good.
Yeah,
I have I have that system in place.
So anyways, you can guarantee that if an officer sees a child that's under 6 years of age and 60 pounds free in that vehicle, we're going to stop you.
Yeah. Well, and so having a car seat, having it installed correctly, this is something that's, Tracy, absolutely going to save lives, right? I mean, it has to.
Yeah. Car seats have saved many children's lives in a lot of crashes. And it's important because the seatbelts that come in our vehicles are designed to fit an adult.
Mm-hmm.
And our small children are fragile and need to be pre-crash positioned properly to withstand the forces that come in a crash.
And Aaron, I mean, having the right car seat, right? I mean, you've got to make sure that your kiddo is in the right one for their age, for their size. I mean, this isn't a one-size-fits-all kind of thing.
Yes, that is correct. And you make sure it's the appropriate seat for age, height, weight, developmental needs, to ensure that they are safely transported.
So how do we do that? Because it's one of those things where, I mean, obviously parents want to do it right, but there's so many options, right? How do you not get overwhelmed and know which one is right for you?
Absolutely. And that's it's through education and it's through resources that we have in the community through child passenger safety technicians to help parents get the information to them so that they are making the best decisions.
Yeah. Well, and Tracy, when you sent me the information earlier this week, the most surprising thing you sent me, I think maybe the most troubling, is just how many people install seats incorrectly. I mean, nationwide, and then, you know, I don't know if that was a Montana number in addition. That number was really high.
Yeah. Nationwide, it's about 59% misuse with car seats. And locally, honestly, we are seeing about 95% misuse here locally and around the state of Montana.
So when you say misuse, what does that mean?
Misuse could be a loose seat, a seat that's not tight enough in the car, harness straps that are too loose, a chest clip that's too low, or maybe the child has outgrown the seat by height or weight or doesn't fit the seat yet for height or weight. So we've got a lot of things that we're looking at when we're talking about proper use and installation.
Okay. We're talking today with Tracy Kiesel, Aaron Root, Berkeley Conrad also here this morning. We're talking about Child Passenger Safety Week. It all comes back to car seats and booster seats as well, that sort of thing. What are the biggest mistakes that parents, that caregivers make when it comes to not doing this the right way?
Probably first and foremost, the biggest thing we see is the seat not being tight enough. All safety seats have to move less than an inch in any direction. So tight seats, loose harnesses, chest clip too low, child's outgrown the height or weight of the seat, moving a child forward facing too soon, not using your top tether strap for your forward facing seats, twisted harnesses or twisted seat belts, expired or recalled seats, allowing children to place their shoulder belt behind their back or under their arm while they're riding in the car, and now that we are headed into our colder months, having kids wear bulky clothing in their seats is dangerous as well.
Yeah, because that gives room if there is a crash. There's that extra room that you just don't realize when that puffy jacket then squishes up, right?
Yeah. Crash forces are going to cause everything to compress.
Yeah.
And when they've got heavy, bulky clothing on, that padding's going to compress and allow room for movement in their safety seat, which is room for injury.
Yeah. And Aaron, actually, Tracy mentioned it, but something that I just learned here recently, there is an expiration date on car seats.
Yes, correct. There is an expiration date, and it will be listed on the label on the car seat or sometimes imprinted in the actual base of the car seat. It's at least 6 years from the manufacturer date of the car seat, or it'll specify a different date if it is a longer date.
Yeah. Manufacturers crash test their own car seats, and they determine what the lifespan of the car seat should be. But over time, plastic deteriorates. Harness straps deteriorate and the fabric breaks down from daily use. So there is an expiration date and a time limit for all car seats on the market.
Yeah, so we can have hand-me-down clothes, but hand-me-down car seats, not necessarily a good idea if it's too far spread out.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, it's something that we can't get on the cheap. I think it's actually illegal in some states to sell secondhand car seats. Probably for that reason.
Yeah, for that reason. When you head to a secondhand store or a garage sale and you pick up a used car seat, you don't know if all the parts and pieces are there, if it's ever been in a wreck, things like that, how the seat was used and taken care of during the time that a prior family used it. So those things are dangerous.
Well, and while kids maybe say they're ready to move out of those seats, I mean, once they get old enough, that's the baby seat, right? And they don't want to be in that thing anymore. But you've got to make sure that they just don't want out, that they actually it's safe for them to be out. Is that right, Aaron? I mean, I know they have to stay in that seat much longer than they're probably going to want to.
Yes, that is true. And that's something that we see a lot, is that children are moved out of booster seats prematurely when they're not ready for seatbelts. And I have a 5 and a 7-year-old, and they are both still in booster seats, and they will be until they are the height and weight to be and to have a seatbelt fit them properly. They've asked questions of why they have to be in a booster seat and other kids aren't, and we have the safety conversation of they're not ready for it yet. They're not big enough, strong enough. It doesn't fit right. And so I think that's an important conversation, and for parents to know. Again, it comes back to that education piece of the kids want to get out of the seat. Mm-hmm. They're asking about it. They don't want to be in the little kid seat anymore. And the parents think that they're okay, but they don't understand the appropriate fit of a seatbelt.
Yeah. So how do you decide that? I mean, because I think we've, you mentioned it there. Tracy touched on it as well, that seatbelts in cars are made for adults. I mean, that's just how they're built. How do we know when our kids are ready for the seatbelt?
We have a 5-step fit test for kids when we decide if an adult seatbelt fits them properly. The first step is to make sure they can sit with their back and their bottom positioned all the way back on the vehicle seat. The shoulder belt must sit across the center of their chest and not along their neck. The lap belt sits low on their hips and not on their belly. Their knees naturally bend at the seat edge, and they can ride this way for the whole trip every time. If any of that doesn't work, then our kids need to stay in their big kid seats. Because every time we transition our kids from one stage to the next, from infant seats to larger rear-facing convertible seats to their forward-facing harness seats and then booster seats, every step in that process provides less protection in the vehicle. So keeping our kids pre-crash positioned as long as possible is important.
Well, even if they're ready for a seatbelt, that doesn't necessarily mean they're ready to be in the front seat, right? I mean, the back seat is one of those next steps.
Yep. Kids need to ride in the back seat until they're 13 years old. And that's because there's a lot of dangerous things up front, mainly the airbags, because airbags come out at 200 miles an hour. And if they impact a child at that speed and with that force, can cause serious and deadly injuries. So kids under 13 need to stay in the back seat.
Okay. Is that something, Berkeley, that's also a stoppable thing for you guys?
No. What we go by, and this is, keep in mind, the minimum mm-hmm. is 6 and 60. It should be much more than that, but that's what Montana law says. So okay. That's what we're going to go by and enforce. But definitely parents and guardians of these small children need to use what we just talked about
right.
as a guideline of when it's time to get them out of the booster seat and into real seat belts and even in the front seats.
So. Right. Well, and there's so much to know, and there's so much to sort of check off here. And parents, caregivers, they can stop in. They can check with some experts to make sure that they're set up correctly. That's coming up. It's tomorrow from 11 to 1. Is that right?
Yep. Tomorrow, Saturday, from 11 to 1 at Target here in Helena. We'll be out in the outer parking lot. We've got several certified technicians that'll be on hand to help parents go through that installation process and make sure kids are riding as safe as possible.
Okay. So even if you think you've got it put in there, right, it's not going to hurt. It's not a bad thing to stop by. I mean, considering the stakes that we're talking about here, this is not a bad thing to swing by and say, hey, did I do this right?
Yep. Sometimes we're just checking parents' good work. We have a lot of parents out there that read their owner's manual, verify with their vehicle manual, and they're just getting that last check from us to make sure that it's all correct.
Yeah, and maybe a good thing for grandparents, any other caregivers who aren't necessarily doing this all the time. You know, it's just randomly they've got to put that car seat in. They're going to want to stop by and find out information too, right?
Yeah, we love seeing grandparents. We live in an age where grandparents are taking a bigger role in transporting kids and helping their parents out. So we want to make sure that grandparents know how the process works, how the safety seats work. And so it's always nice to see them come through and make sure they're doing it correctly as well.
So how long does this take for folks?
Most of our child safety seats check take about 30 to 40 minutes.
Okay.
Some go a little quicker. Kind of depends on how many car seats we're looking at in the vehicle and who all rides in there and putting that puzzle together.
Yeah. Okay. So if you've got kiddos, if you've got those car seats, not a bad idea just to swing on in and have those things checked out. Make sure that you're doing what you need to be doing. It's coming up once again. It's tomorrow morning. Starts at 11 o'clock, runs until 1 in the afternoon. And it's at the Target parking lot. My guess is folks aren't going to be able to miss you.
Nope, shouldn't miss us. Don't need an appointment. Car seat checks are free, so come on out tomorrow, 11 to 1.
If parents can't get by there this weekend, grandparents, whoever it is there some way they can contact somebody, get information, get checked otherwise?
Yep, parents can call the Tri-County Buckle Up Montana program at 324-1072. We also have certified technicians at the Montana Highway Patrol headquarters and with the Helena Police Department. So those are a couple of locations to get help with their car seat.
Okay, so just call Berkeley and say, Berkeley, come check my kid's car seat.
It's pretty common, actually. They show up with the brand new safety seat and says, help us install this, and we can set up an appointment and get that done pretty easy.
Well, yeah, it is one of those things where it's like, okay, it's time to go home from the hospital with your baby now. And you go, oh, yeah, you just put it the car seat in. And then you look at it and go, but how do I do this?
Yep. We do it all the time. So please, if you can't make it this Saturday, give us a call. We're absolutely happy to help out.
Okay. Fantastic. Guys, I appreciate you coming in. Berkeley Conrad, Tracy Kiesel, Aaron Root. Aaron, I told you it wasn't that bad, right?
It wasn't that bad.
And you get a new coffee mug.
I'm not shaking anymore.
So. No, and you get a coffee mug out of the deal.
Oh, great.
I didn't want to tell you and get you all excited beforehand. So I appreciate you guys coming in. I appreciate what you're doing. Stop on by there at Target 11 and 1 tomorrow. And get that car seat checked out. Stick around. We do have more Coffee Break coming up right after this. I just wanted to step away from the show for a few seconds to tell you that if you miss an episode, you can always catch up. We're on iTunes, so find our show there or swing by coffeebreak959.podbean.com. Local and area events, city, state, and national officials, your neighbors doing incredible things. We talk to them all on Coffee Break, where Helena comes to talk. Now, back to our show. I'm Troy Shockley. This is Coffee Break. Thanks for sticking around. Joining us for the second half of the show, the final segment of the show this week, we've got Cliff Meese. I got your last name right, and I can't even pronounce your first name now. Cliff Meese, he's with the Legal Tender Pub and Bistro. Cliff, it's been a little bit since you've been in. How are you?
Yeah, good morning, Troy. We're doing well. It's been a busy summer.
Yeah, it's been a really nice summer. You didn't have any forest fires that kept people indoors. I mean, my guess is you've been pretty busy out there.
It's been pretty good. People have been enjoying the outdoors, and we're in a great location for that. People come by Park Lake.
Yeah,
and season now.
It's fantastic. And you're out at Legal Tender. That's just down the road in, I guess it's Clancy. Tell folks a little bit about the place.
About Clancy?
Or, well...
No,
it's not going to take very long. Tell them about Legal Tender.
Well, Legal Tender, we're in Clancy. We're the institution in Clancy, and we're happy to be there. We love Clancy, and that's us.
Yeah. So, and what are your hours down there? Because you do open a little bit later,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. We open at 11, and okay. We're open until 9. Generally, we're open later on Fridays, and we open earlier on Sunday. For brunch, there's been some talk, some rumors, maybe breakfast on Saturday, Sunday. We do a brunch on Sunday currently, but talking about moving that up.
That's on my list to catch a brunch down there. I haven't done it yet.
Rusty does a great job. It's a lot of fun.
So for folks that haven't been down there at all, what's the atmosphere? What's the food? Give us the Yelp review.
The Yelp review. It's we've got steaks. Rusty does a great job. We have a variety of food. We have pastas. We have soups. The soups are always excellent. I don't encourage people to get the soups because they cost less money than a steak. I'd say go for the steak, but the soups are delicious. It's a great variety of food and it's all good.
Yeah, it's fantastic. They're just down the road once again in Clancy. And Cliff, you have something that you've been doing for a little while now. It's the History Dinner Series. Where did that come from?
It's just passions, passion for food and passion for history, and how do we bring that together and educate the public and create a forum. A lot of people enjoy history. They don't enjoy it in school, but then they get out in real life and enjoy it. It's like, oh, this is actually interesting now that I don't have to take a test.
Right. It's that stopping on the History Channel and going, you know what, I actually kind of enjoy this.
Yeah,
right?
So actually, that was a point. We were calling it the dinner lecture series, and we were talking, maybe history dinner is a little more, sounds less like a teacher's there.
Right. With the rulers. There's not going to be a quiz afterwards.
Yeah, it's history dinner. And the dinner itself is actually historically themed. We did the Titanic a little while back, and it was the last meal they ate on the Titanic. It was really a great meal.
Did you turn the sprinklers on afterwards just to kind of give people
We didn't go that far, but... But that's an idea. We need to bring
you put it in the books. I mean, for next time. So how many – you've been doing this for a little while now. How many have you been doing? And what's kind of been the feedback from folks?
It's been over a year, and it's been picking up. People are – last year we struggled through the summer. People are busy. This year we plowed right through the summer with a fairly full house. So it's been well-received. We're building a cult following.
Yeah. Well, so how do you decide – sort of what or who to feature? There's obviously a lot of options.
There are a lot of options. We've done a lot of local history. We try to get a little diversity in there, different topics for different people. But I don't know if people have ideas, we're happy to hear them. We'll track down the right person and the right topic. You know, you always wondered about the history on that ranch. Let's figure that out.
Right. Well, and you have a dinner coming up. It's set for it's this coming Thursday. It's next week on the 26th. Is that the right date?
That's the 26th of September.
Okay. And you're featuring Meriwether Lewis this time, right?
Meriwether Lewis and the New Frontier. And, you know, we all know he was on the Lewis and Clark expedition, but that's about all I know about Meriwether Lewis. So.
Well, fun fact, he's my cousin.
Oh, yeah.
So there you go. I don't know how many times removed, but now you know one more thing about him.
Are you?
Yeah, we're related.
You're related.
Somehow down the tree on my dad's side.
Can you spell Meriwether?
Yeah, well, I have it written down in my notes.
Okay.
So, well, I just call him Cousin Mary. We've got somebody coming in to actually talk about him. What's sort of the setup? I mean, what is this evening going to look like?
So generally what we do, we come in, get a drink, and we chat for a while, we get our food, and then whoever's our presenter gets into it. We usually have a slideshow, have an interactive presentation. It's a fairly small group, so we have fun. Go back and forth a little bit. It's not just a lecture. It's interactive.
You're not stodgy out there at Legal Tender.
And we'll have an intermission in there so you can refill your drinks, which makes history more fun.
It does. If you haven't seen a drunk history on I think it's History Channel.
History Channel.
It's fantastic. So yeah, we're going to be hearing from Larry Milnichuk is the one coming in. You said he's with the Sons of the American Revolution?
He is, yeah. And that's how he actually tracked us down, said, "I like this program. I want to be a part of it. I want to present." And so bringing him in to talk about Meriwether Lewis and the New Frontier.
Okay, very cool. And once again, this is happening. It's next Thursday, the 26th. Meriwether Lewis is the featured subject and certainly a big part of Montana's history. And the menu, pretty fantastic frontier meal you've got on tap.
Yeah, kind of a country meal, something Meriwether Lewis would have eaten. Country ham, scalloped potatoes, black-eyed peas, salad, biscuits. Whipped honey butter, you know, good stuff.
Yeah,
kind of getting excited.
Right, it's a nice feeling. It's been a long time since breakfast here on the show, so I almost hate sometimes talking with you guys about food because it just makes me hungry. And this is a fundraiser, also part of the proceeds here. Where are they going?
So it changes every month. This month, it's the Clancy Methodist Church, which is actually a really beautiful historic church in Clancy. I'm a Catholic personally, but we're happy to help the Clancy Methodist.
bridging divides, so, yeah. At Legal Tender.
So, hopefully they support us. We support them. It's a good community.
Yeah, so tickets are required for this, though, right?
Yes, we need a head count. That's why tickets are required. So we encourage people to get their ticket before Monday or on Monday. The price goes up after Monday just because okay. We're trying to incentivize people to book early. And this one, it might sell out. It's there's quite a bit of excitement. A lot of support from the Clancy Methodist Church.
Right. They're going to just move the whole congregation in for
right,
is what
right.
You're saying. They're going to fill the pews at Legal Tender. What? How many people can you handle for this thing?
That's I don't have the answer. I think we can handle up to like 70 people.
Okay.
Something in that ballpark. And so that's still a good crowd.
Yeah. So where do people need to go then to get the tickets? What do they need to know about those?
So you can always ping us on Facebook or on our website. And these our calendar is on Facebook too, so you can see these events. But you can call the restaurant. You can look that number up, but it's 502-1393, and. If you're interested in this series, you should go on our website and enter your email, and we'll spam out emails when these things are coming up.
Okay, so people can kind of get a heads up when it's coming. Do you have them planned out for the next little bit then?
Well, I think we do, but I don't think they're all posted yet. So.
Okay, so we can't get a sneak peek of who's next?
We're not that organized right. yet, but focused on this one.
Right. So this is coming up, once again, folks, it's coming up. You can hear all about Meriwether Lewis and the New Frontier. It's the dinner and lecture series out at the Legal Tender Pub and Bistro in Clancy on 7 Legal Tender Lane,
7
right?
Legal Tender Lane. The road's just named for us.
Yeah, so it's really easy to remember. So head on down there to Clancy, but you got to get your tickets first. So get in line, get on Facebook, look them up, and that way you can track down some tickets for this because they, folks love Cousin Mary. And those tickets are going to go quick. That's all the time we have for Coffee Break this morning. That's all the time we have for Coffee Break this week. But we'll see you back here on Monday. I'm Troy Shockley, and that's it for Coffee Break today. Be sure to check us out on iTunes. Head on over. Give us a review there. That's always much appreciated. Or swing by coffeebreak959.podbean.com. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you back here tomorrow.